بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على خاتم النبيين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا طيبا وعملا متقبلا. اللهم ربنا زدنا علما. Dear brothers, continuing what we have started to talk about last week, the week before, regarding the case of hadith of Jibreel عليه السلام, the famous hadith which is narrated by Muslim and Imam Ahmad, At-Tirmidhi, Abu Dawood, and Nasa'i. And this hadith, of course, is a correct hadith, sahih, since Imam Muslim has already mentioned it in his correct book, Sahih Muslim. And we said that we're going to talk about this hadith in detail because it is containing the three steps of deen, of Islam, which is Islam, Ihsan, Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. And we started to talk about Islam as the hadith when Jibreel alayhi salam came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as narrated by Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu arda, he said that Jibreel alayhi, a man came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam with a dark hair, clean white clothes, and he came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he said to him and he asked him about Islam and Iman and Ihsan and the At-Sa'ah or the Judgment Day or the finishing of the earth. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered all the questions of Jibreel alayhi salam before anybody knows him. So he answered him that Islam is five pillars to believe, to testify that none has the right to worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah, and the second pillar is salah, third pillar is zakah, fourth pillar is sawm, and fifth pillar is hajj. And we said, and he also asked him about iman, and he answered him until the end of the hadith. So actually we talked about the first pillar of Islam, the first part of it actually, which is to testify that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. La ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And we said this is really going to take us a while. Why? Just following Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of his way of da'wah. How did he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started his da'wah? How did he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finish his da'wah? We will try to follow him in this case as much as we can. Since Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stayed 10 complete years. Of the 23 years of da'wah, 10 complete years, he did not call people for salah or sawm or hajj or zakah. He was only talking about the case of Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. And we said that not the reason for that was not that the Arabs did not understand the meaning of la ilaha illallah. Actually they did, from the first place. But because it was not so easy for Arabs, those pure Arabs who knows the meaning of the Arabic language, which is the Quran descended with, they did not accept La ilaha illallah. Because they know clearly that when they accept it, it means that they are going to leave all the old things that contradicting with La ilaha illallah. So we really need to follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in such a case. We are going to spend some time to talk about La ilaha illallah. Not because Muslims do not know or do not want La ilaha illallah, do not accept La ilaha illallah, but because it is a mandatory case, it is a very important case that a Muslim really understand La ilaha illallah, understand the conditions of La ilaha illallah, understand when he is going to be benefit of La ilaha illallah. When this happens, then we will say, okay, we have understood La ilaha illallah, we can go on for the rest of things. Especially if we remember that La ilaha illallah is a condition. Unless the person says La ilaha illallah, he's not a Muslim. Even if he prays or fasts or pay zakah or make hajj, all these are not accepted. Unless he says La ilaha illallah with the complete conditions. So we need really to discuss this case clearly and in detail. So when we reach the point that we really understood this point and what is necessary for this point, then we will inshallah go on for the rest of the case. Tonight we need to talk about a matter which is related with the case of La ilaha illallah. That matter is the matter of Tawheed or monotheism. Why are we talking about monotheism? What do we mean by monotheism? Tawheed. What is meant by monotheism actually? Monotheism, if you want really to take the true meaning of monotheism, is to believe in the oneness of Allah in three cases. To believe in the oneness of Allah in three matters. To believe in the oneness of Allah in His rububiyyah, lordship. To believe in the oneness of Allah in His uluhiyyah, worship. To believe in the oneness of Allah in His names and qualities. Tawheed or monotheism cannot be correct or accepted unless these three are there. As you will see, inshallah, when we talk about the Arabs, how they accepted one part of Tawheed, one sect of Tawheed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not count them as the Muslims, as Muslims. He counts them as kafirs, and He already mentioned some of them to be in hellfire as Abu Lahab, nasallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, in order to be a monotheist, which is a mandatory case, and it is of course يعني, a must for accepting the deed to get it to Jannah, to be free from hellfire, we must have all of these three sects of Tawheed. Let's see the first one. The first one is the Lordship, which is al-Rububiyyah. That's to believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His deed. I'll come back to the case of Cerberus later on, inshallah. To believe in the oneness of Allah and His deeds, like what? Creation, like providing rizq, like giving rain, and so on. A Muslim cannot be a monotheist unless he believes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one. In this case, the case of rububiyyah or lordship. And the ayat in the holy book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are so many showing us that Allah is the only Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala for us. The only creator, the only one who knows the ghaib or unseen world subhanahu wa ta'ala. And actually, this sect of Tawheed, there was no big problem among Muslims, among Arabs in that time or the others. Most of the human beings or mankind believe that Allah is the creator and sustainer of the universe. Very limited people like Jahriya in the time, the old times, and communists in this later on years, they do not believe that Allah is the creator and sustainer of the universe. In fact, Allah told us that the benefits of Quraysh and the Arabs were believing that Allah is the creator and sustainer of the universe. As Allah told us subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. So they deeply believe that the creator and sustainer of the universe is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they never said that Allah or Al-Uzza or others are the creator and sustainer of the universe. Never. But did this belief, did this sect of Tawheed get them into Islam? No. Why? Because this is a regular thing. Of course, if a human being was created and the creator is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot find someone say that the one who created them is Hubal or Allah or Al-Uzza or any other god. Except these, as I told you, the communists and the others who do not believe in any god. So we are not going to talk a lot about the case of the lordship side of Tawheed. But actually we need to talk a lot about the second case, which is the case of worship side, uluhiyya side of Tawheed. Because this is actually the major problem the people have when they come to the case of Tawheed. Who are these people? The kafirin or polytheists who were in the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The kafirin nowadays, the Muslims who do not really practice la ilaha illallah correctly. What was the problem? The problem that they misunderstood the meaning of ilah. Uluhiyyah, that's the name of the sect. Ilah is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the ilah. He is the one who is worshipped. He is the one who really deserves to be worshipped, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So uluhiyyah side, or worship side, which is ibadah for human beings and uluhiyyah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the major case that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his brothers, nabiyyin and mursaleen, came to talk about. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدُونِ. every messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sent every messenger telling his people, nobody or none has the right to worship except Allah. Every messenger. Starting with Nuh, because he was the first messenger. Adam was a prophet only. Starting with Nuh alayhi salam until Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all these messengers were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the human beings to tell them one important case. To tell them, none has the right to worship except Allah. Again, to remember that la ilaha illallah, which has all these surpluses, is misunderstood by a lot of Muslims now. Not only regular Muslims, not ignorant Muslims. Unfortunately, some scholars of Islam, they misunderstand the meaning of the Quran. Subhanallah al-Azim. That's why when you see them, they are seeing the people. They are watching the people going to the grave to ask them things that only asked by to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only can be given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they see people going to this grave, they never say anything. They say, okay, it's alright, it's alright. It's only a sin, and inshallah they will be forgiven. Subhanallah al-Azim. They are seeing the people going to the grave, asking them instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they say, it's alright. Because they misunderstood truly the meaning of La ilaha illallah. If they really understood La ilaha illallah clearly as descended to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will not say this word. They will not say that it's okay to go to grave and ask them instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they really misunderstood the case of ilah, saying that they believe in Allah, the creator and sustainer of the universe. They so what? If they believe that Allah is the creator and sustainer of the universe, they have done what Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab and the others that did before. Same thing. Did Abu Lahab say that the creator and sustainer of the universe is Allah or Al-Uzza or this? No. Abu Lahab, Abu Jahl and the other kafirin in time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were admitting that the creator and sustainer of the universe is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that did not give them the name of Islam. But they really needed to understand and accept La ilaha illallah as descended to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he actually rejected that, as he said in the last week speech. When he said that they came to the Abu Talib's house, the uncle of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asking him to make a deal with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to stop the segregation of Quraysh because of da'wah of Islam. And when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw them and he told them, what do you want? They said, do you what you want? He said, I want one word only. One word, one sentence, you say it, you will rule Arab and non-Arab also. So Abu Jahl was so happy, he said, okay, take 10 words, not one word. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him to say one word, La ilaha illallah. Did he accept it? Did the Kafirin or the Spurgis accept it? No. Why? Because these Arabs, those pure Arabs, unfortunately, those Kafirin, know La ilaha illallah better than a lot of Muslims now. Because they were pure Arabs. They know what it means, the word ilah means. It's not the creator, no. This is a different word. Ilah here means the one who is worshipped. So none has the right to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Abu Jahl and the others rejected this because they want to worship the others. They want to continue worshipping Allah, Al-Uzza, Hubal and the other idols. While Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted them to worship the only one who deserves to worship that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third sect of Tawheed is to believe the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His names and qualities. Confirming them first place that Allah is the creator and sustainer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Aziz, al-Rahim, al-Rahman, al-Ghafur, al-Wadud, these are the names. Confirming also the description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sifat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like what He told us in His holy book and what Muhammad told us in His correct hadith, we take them as they are mentioned without twisting them or changing the meaning of it, as we will talk about this case inshallah later on. That concludes the case of the sect of Tawheed, although we will come back to them one way or another. But let me come back or go back to the case of surpluses of Tawheed. When we say Tawheed, to believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His lordship, in His worship, in His names and qualities, what are we going to get out of it? What is in it for me? This is a question that is always used in everything we are going to deal with. Actually, Tawheed, first of all, it's a reason, as important reason it's a must reason to enter Jannah, paradise. That's the first place. No one can get to Jannah if he was not a monotheist. If he was a polytheist, which is the vice versa of polytheism, monotheism, then he is not going to get into Jannah. Not at all. As Allah told us in His Holy Book, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. Jannah for him is haram. He cannot get to Jannah because he is not a monotheist, he was a polytheist. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ. So he will be settled in hellfire. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. So tawheed is a reason to get into Jannah. But what about the other point, which is that it's a reason to get out of hellfire? That means clearly that a Muslim may get into hellfire also, but he will not be settled in hellfire. The difference between a Muslim, a monotheist, and the polytheist or kafirin, that kafirin and polytheist and the others will be settled in hellfire forever. Well, a bad Muslim who falls into a lot of sins, major sins, kaba'ir, so on, without shirk, of course, if he dies without a repentance, without a tawbah, without repenting, he may get to hellfire for some time. But he will never be settled in hellfire. Yani he will not stay there forever. نعوذ بالله من النار. نعوذ بالله من النار. That's one turbulence of tawheed. The other one is, tawheed or monotheism is a condition for accepting the good deeds of the Muslim. As Allah tells in His Holy Book, the last few ayahs on Surah Al-Kahf, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. So that mushrik has missed the condition of getting to Jannah or accepting his deeds. If a Muslim or a person who is showing Islam, praying 5 times a day, blessed. Fasting Ramadan, blessed. Paying zakah, blessed. Going for Hajj once, blessed. But he is not a monotheist. He is a polytheist. All his good deeds are in vain, fruitless, useless, voided, nullified. Who said so? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And the other ayah, وَلَوْ أَشْرَكُوا لَحَبِطَ عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. All these good deeds, all this salah, all this fasting, all this zakah, all this hajj will be fruitless, useless, will be destroyed. Allah will not look at him at all if the tawheed is not there. So tawheed is a condition to accept these good deeds. That's why Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not accept anything from the polytheists until they became monotheists. You remember the case of that man who came to share jihad with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one of the battles in Medina, just because he wanted to help his people in Medina. He was living in Medina. He was a national of Medina. And he wanted to make jihad with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not know him. He said, who are you? He said, he gave him his name. He said, are you a Muslim? أَتَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. He said, no. He said, sorry, go back. Can't accept. The man wanted to make jihad. Jihad is one of the best good deeds that a Muslim could do. Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم did not accept this guy. Why? Because Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم knew and he told us صلى الله عليه وسلم that every good deed done without tawheed is not accepted. So tawheed in here is a true condition, important condition to receive, to accept the deeds by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Third point of the surpluses of tawheed is to say that it erases sin. Tawheed erases sin, which is very important for us. We Muslims know that every human being going to have a sin. That's for sure. He will have silk. That's for sure. Nobody. As the Prophet ﷺ told us in the clear hadith. ولولا أنكم تخطئون لأتى الله بقوم يخطئون فيستغفرون فيغفر لهم. That means if we were not doing any sins, Allah would smash us away. I will bring people who make sins so they will make istighfar, so Allah Ta'ala will make forgiveness for them. Subhanallah al-Azim. Put this in mind. خير الخطائين التوابون. خير الخطائين التوابون. So we make sins, that's for sure. As far as this sin, these sins are not prohibited. We are still in the east. We still have a chance. Even if a Muslim dies drinking alcohol, or making zina, or taking riba, or stealing, these are major sins, kaba'ir. If he dies without repenting, he is still under the mashi'ah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He may forgive him and send him to Jannah directly, or he may subhanahu wa ta'ala also send him to hellfire for some time, then he will end up to Jannah to live forever there. But tawheed is here, a true tawheed, a true la ilaha illallah coming from the heart, will erase these sins. So a Muslim should really do his best to be a true manifest, as was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhu wa sahaba, who were true manifest, who they used to love Allah ta'ala only. And if we really take it from other way around, we will see that tawheed is a must truly. Because if we think we are slaves of Allah, the one who created us subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who gave us every grace we have, doesn't he deserve the monotheism? Doesn't he deserve subhanahu wa ta'ala to be worshipped only? Doesn't he deserve subhanahu wa ta'ala to be loved? Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yusuf. Put in mind that every da'wah of every messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with tawheed, monotheism. وما أرسلنا من قبلك من رسول إلا نوحي إليه أنه لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدون. Also all the messengers, they call their people, telling them to worship Allah only. ولقد أرسلنا نوحا إلى قومه فقال يا قوم اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره. يا قوم, oh my people, اعبدوا الله, worship Allah only. ما لكم من إله غيره. No other God. Every messenger is coming with monotheism, calling for monotheism. Every messenger is carrying two cases, creed and legislation. Creed, tawheed, monotheism. Legislation is the law of Islam or law of the messenger which is sent. So we will see that all of these messengers came with one case of creed, aqeedah, belief, faith, but different legislation. As Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم told us in the hadith, الأنبياء أبناء علة, دينهم واحد وشرائعهم مختلفة. That hadith means that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is describing the prophets and messengers of Allah تعالى like the children of one man with different wives, different mothers. So the father is the creed one, and the mothers are the legislation diverse. That's why you will find that Allah Ta'ala told in the Holy Book that Musa alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala told him to make prohibited or forbidden for Bani Israel some cases like the grease of the sheep and the other animals. But Isa came and he made them halal. Some of the Sharia of Isa alayhi salam has been changed also by Sharia Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But their creed, their faith, their belief was one. That's the first. The same thing. All of them are saying the same word. قُلُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِحُوا. Did Muslims pay a lot of attention to this case? Nowadays, you will find a Muslim, you will find Muslims having trouble of moving the finger, having trouble to raise the hands or not to raise them, finding troubles among the Muslims if they to say Ameen after Imam or not to say it, or too loud it or not too loud it. These are easy. Yeah, and if a person does not say loudly Ameen, is he going to go to hellfire? Or if he says it, is he going to go, Subhanallah. Our major case that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam really emphasizes and really talked a lot about is La ilaha illallah, Tawheed, monotheism, creed. That's what we really need to talk about. When you see a Muslim, a very good worshipper, MashaAllah, then you discover that he is going to graves and asking them instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illallah. What can you say? He is breaking Islam from the first point, from the first case, which is monotheism or Tawheed. He is giving the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the human beings, or to the grave, or to the dead, or to the station. Why? Because they really misunderstand that word which is La ilaha illallah, the true meaning of it, as we discussed last week. Then we come back to the case which is really giving a lot of Muslims a lot of headache. Unfortunately, again to say, our problem among the Muslims now is that they do not really understand, or most of them, or some of them, are not really understanding the case of the word La ilaha illallah, or the word worship. You ask these people who go to these graves, or babas, as you call them, and you ask them, are you worshipping them? You say, Astaghfirullah, كيف هذا? We are not worshipping these graves. Say, what are you doing? He said, I'm just going there to ask them to get me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Same word said by the prophet of the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us. They say, ما نعبدهم إلا ليقربونا إلى الله زلفى. So we are worshipping Allah, Al-Uzza and the others for what? To get them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we said in previous week or before, that they say, we cannot go directly to Allah. We are humble people, we are faithful people. We cannot go and ask Allah directly. So what are we going to do? We'll go through pious people, through Khalandar Baba, through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why through? Why through? Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly told us in Holy Book, in His Holy Book subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us clearly, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ اُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. ادعو me. He doesn't say call me through. He asks us to call him directly. No intermediate. No need for shafa'a or wasila in this case. Call us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the case of wasila, by the way, one of the big gates, as we said before, to get into shirk. We'll talk about it, inshallah, in details. Inshallah. Because I know a lot of you, a lot of Muslims, they're having a problem with the case of tawassul and wasila. Allah told us clearly in His Holy Book, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةَ. Huh. طيب, how can we talk about this case? So we need to have wasila. Our wasila is Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. No, 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 wait. Our wasila, which is mentioned in this ayah, is not Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Not the high rank of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Not the grave. Not the Khalandar Baba. Not the good people. The pious people. No. Wasila here is clearly and easy to say what Allah told us in the Holy Book subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. He wants us to call him by his good name. This is wasila. We call him by his good qualities. This is wasila. We call him subhanahu wa ta'ala by our good deeds. This is wasila. And hadith is very clear. We'll talk about it later on. Just as these are only just examples. So wasila here also misunderstood by Muslims, thinking that wasila means we have to use the pious people or Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or the high rank of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or call him. No, this is incorrect. Who said so? That's Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali radiallahu anhu marzahum. They have done it by themselves. They never went and asked Allah by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do we know Islam better than Abu Bakr? Than Umar? Than Uthman? Than Ali? La wallah, we don't. We are only the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba. عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعدي تمسكوا بها وعضوا عليها بالنواجذ وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور. So what we need actually is to understand Islam as Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم wanted us to understand it. How is that? By Quran and Sunnah. تركت فيكم ما إن تمسكتم به لن تضلوا بعدي أبدا. كتاب الله وسنتي. Quran Sunnah. If you capture and then, if you learn them, if you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are in the right track. What if one scholar or some scholars say do it this way or do it that way. We'll see. If what he says contradicting with Quran and Sunnah, خلي ولي. We're not going to listen to him. Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, Imam Ahmad, Malik, Shafi, all of them, they said it clearly, if you find my words contradicting with the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, throw it away. اضربوا بكلامي على الحال. That's what Abu Hanifa said. And Shafi and Malik and Ahmad, all of them, they clearly said it, that they are the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we need to follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, they know Islam, they know Islam, they are better than us in knowledge of Islam. True. We love them. We follow them also. But as long as, put a line in this word, as long as they are following Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because somebody will say, okay, do you mean that Abu Hanifa or Shafi or Malik or Ahmad ibn Hanbal, they were not following Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in some cases? No. But they are human beings, they make mistakes. They are human beings, they make mistakes. Yes, they do. And they did. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not ask you in the judgment day, what did you answer Abu Hanifa or Shafi or Malik or Ahmad? He will ask you, what did you answer Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? ماذا أجبتم المرسلين? What did you answer the messengers to you? He is not going to ask us, what did we answer Abu Hanifa or Shafi or Malik or Ahmad ibn Hanbal? No. He will ask us, what did we answer Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He called us, قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحوا. لا إله إلا الله. أبين الله رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So if Abu Hanifa or Shafi or Malik or Ahmad, these good imams, these major imams, these best imams, said something which is not or contradicting with قال الله قال رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم, we'll say, oh sorry, we are the followers of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم in the first place. And even Abu Hanifa or Shafi or Malik, if they are alive again and they say this hadith, they will stop and say, yes, this is the hadith, and throw away our words. If they are doing this, why aren't we doing the same way? To follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So put the point that we do not want to segregate Muslims, make a lot of groups around. These are Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis, this. These are Jama'at Islami, Tablighis, this. We don't want this. This is not our case. Our case is, our leader is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We want to follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as he told us to do. This is our case. العلم قال الله قال رسوله قال الصحابة ليس بالتمويه. This is the علم, this is the knowledge of Islam, is to follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala words in his book, the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his sunnah. We obey the scholars, yes, we do, as long as they are in the right track of Muhammad. One of the words we said that Muslims really have a problem with is the case of worshipping. When you again ask these people who go to the graves, asking them instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you ask them, are you worshipping these graves? You say, A'udhu billah. So what are you doing? I'm just asking them to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not worshipping them. When you ask them, what do you mean by worshipping? When you ask these people, what do they understand from the word worshipping? They will tell you, Salah, Sawm, Hajj, Zakah. Is that all? It is all worshipping? No, not true. Not true. Worshipping is a collective word, collective name, that contains a lot of things into it. As we said before in the beginning, we said that even when a man, when a husband takes his wife to the bed, this is worshipping. Who said so? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Sahaba were amazed. Ya Rasulullah, we do our desires and we gain good deeds for it. He said, yes. If you did it in haram, aren't you going to get bad deeds? He said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. So if you did it in halal, you get good deeds. So in this case, we understand clearly that our life from early morning to the next early morning is all worshipping for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we eat, worshipping. If we sleep, it's worshipping. If we go to work to gain money, halal money, this is worshipping. If we take care of our children, talk with them, even enjoy with them, joke with them, play with them, this is worshipping. But with the two conditions. With the two conditions. What are they? Only for Allah. Only the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. The way of Rasulullah and only for Allah. When someone do
they worshipping. With one condition only, it is not accepted. If someone comes and he says, I'm working, doing this only for Allah. So he's making a lot of dhikr. But he's doing this dhikr, not the way of Rasulullah SAW. Hay, hay, hu, hu, these cases. Then he is losing the track. Yes, he's doing this for Allah only. Yes, accept that. I think he's right. He's talking from his own heart. But he's not doing it the way of Rasulullah SAW. So it's not accepted. If someone does the worshipping the way of Rasulullah SAW, but not for Allah, he's a hypocrite. Munafiq. So these two conditions are must. Put these two conditions in every case you are doing in your life, halal cases, mubah cases, allowed cases, it will become good deed for you. So eating, wallahi, eating becomes good deeds also. How is that? If we eat to make our bodies strong enough for worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is good deed. As Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu said in the hadith, إني لا أحتسب على الله نومتي كما أحتسب على الله قومتي. He is saying or telling us that he is expecting Allah to reward him for his sleeping, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards him for praying. As long as his sleeping is for Allah only and the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A Muslim comes to the bed just to relax and sleep, this is mubah. No problem, but there is no good deeds in here. He comes to the bed again and to relax, to make his body strong enough to make Salat al-Fajr with Jama'ah, then he is doing worship. If he eats just to enjoy the taste of food and fill his belly button, that's mubah, fine, it's halal. But if he does this to make his body strong enough for worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he is doing worship. He is gaining good deeds with these two conditions. So, the major mistake among some Muslims is that they do not understand the word worship correctly. Most of Muslims, we ask him, what is worshipping? He will tell you, Salatum Hajj Zakat. What about the other case? No. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly told us in His holy book, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. The meaning of this ayah is Allah is telling us that He created jinn and ins only for one reason, to worship Him. So if we want to practice that, means we will not leave the masjid. We'll stay in the masjid 24 hours. No eating, no sleeping, no anything, because understanding that salah, sawm, hajj, zikr, zakah, zikr and so on, this is the worshipping, then we'll stay in the masjid. We will not go away, because we cannot cut what Allah told us to do, is to worship Him always. That's impossible, of course. Otherwise, if we start to eat and sleep, that means we are not really practicing this ayah. That's the wrong understanding of the worshipping in this case. So we have to understand the worshipping correctly to say that worshipping is a collective name, which includes a lot of things into it. A lot of good, a lot of deeds, a lot of actions, a lot of sayings. So dhikr is worshipping. Da'wah is worshipping. Talking to your wife, talking to your children, showing them the correct way is worshipping. Sleeping is worshipping, and so on. So a Muslim actually practicing this ayah truly, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Again to say, major cases among Muslims, major mistakes is because they did not understand a lot of words of Quran and Sunnah. When they understand it clearly, they will not have this trouble at all. When they understand the true meaning of La ilaha illallah, they will never, never go to any grave and ask him for cureness, for rizq, for children, for so on. You can see around the areas you came from. Not only this, even this country. 250 years ago, there was a grave here called Grave of Zayd ibn Khattab, brother of Umar ibn Khattab. It's called so, but it was not truly. But they made a building into it. People come there and ask this grave instead of Allah. They make tawaf, they sacrifice, they shave heads and so on. This is the only one? No! It was all around, full in here, in this area. But alhamdulillah, when Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab was done, he did his best to bring back the monotheism into Muslims, and Muslims came back to monotheism, alhamdulillah. So you do not see any graves in here. You do not see any calendar babas. You not see any trees. Trees? Yes. Trees were worshipped in here in Riyadh, or beside Riyadh al-Kharj. I told you a few weeks ago that there was a valley beside al-Kharj. That valley was full of male palm trees. Women in that time who do not get husbands for a long time, they are waiting 25, 30 years old, and nobody came to marry her. She goes there and she hugged one of these male palm trees and asked him, please give me a husband before the end of the year. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. How ignorant these people were. Now you will find some Muslims the same way almost. Go and find out. Go in Egypt as an example. What do you find? Al-Badawi, Al-Dusuqi, so on. Go to Syria, you'll find the grave of Ibn Arabi. Go to Iraq, you'll find the grave of the Ahlul Bayt. Go to Iran, go to Afghanistan, Mazar Sharif and so on. Go to Ajmer, Shah Jalal, whatever. You want more? So many, you cannot come. These are worshipped instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you come to these people and tell them that you are doing mistakes, oh, no. Ishhada. They think they are only getting closer to Allah because they love these awliya. This is not love. Those good people who died, if they are very good people, we love them because this is part of Islam. Part of wala to mu'mineen. So love them. But this is not loving. This is not visiting graves. This is worshipping the graves. Because they ask them things that only ask to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They ask them for cureness. They ask them for healing. They ask them for rizq, for children, for this. And that is really worshipping. We need really to be careful when we talk about these words, which is really misunderstood somewhere or another. Tawheed or monotheism is the word really needed to re-discuss, to re-understand, to recheck. So when we come to the point of it, we will understand why are we far away. Just one more case and we'll close inshallah. Because the case of names and qualities, we'll come to it inshallah next week because it will take a little bit of time. Hadith of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma. Ibn Abbas narrated that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba that shirk started, first time shirk started after Nuh, 10 centuries. Sorry, after Adam, 10 centuries after Adam, shirk started. How did it start? That's very important what to say, well, how did it start? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in this hadith how shirk started. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning for his death, that after 10 centuries, after Adam alayhi salam, before Nuh of course, five pious people died almost at the same time. These are mentioned on the Surah Nuh. Waddan wa suwa'an wa yaghutha wa ya'uqa wa nasra. Five pious persons. Good worshippers died. People had a shock. It was a tragedy to them. So Shaitan came to them and say, you missed these fantastic people. What can we do? What will you do? Why don't you draw pictures of these people so you remember they were good worshipping, so you will follow them in worshipping. Shaitan is smart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us clearly in his book, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Don't follow the steps of Shaitan. Shaitan has steps. He has swore to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمْ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. He swore to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he will take us all to hellfire. And except those people who are sick to tawheed, to monotheism. So he came to these people, after the death of these five people, he said, why don't you draw pictures of them so you will remember their worshipping, so you will worship Allah like him. Right? So they obey. They draw pictures. That's the first generation. When they see the pictures, Allah. So they start to worship Allah fantastically. But generation by generation, they made idols or statues of these pictures. Then they started, the generations came after later on, they started to ask barakah. of these pictures, of these idols. More generations to come, then they worship these instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us clearly that having pictures, especially hanging pictures, is haram, totally haram, because to lead. He told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not to, as we will say inshallah later on, he told us not to construct buildings into graves. Why? Why? Listen to the case. The first generation of Nuh people who have made pictures of these five persons, what did they do? They were only, and they know clearly that the one only one deserves to worship is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not these pictures, but just these to remember. Now, next generation, generation after generation, what will happen? These younger cells will say, why our elders, when they come to see these pictures, they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fantastically? There's a connection in here. There's a connection here. These children thought, there's a connection in here. What's the connection? There has to have something about these people. What is it? Huh? Generation comes later on. More generations to come. They start to think that the older people used to worship these instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they did. So shaitan came with this tip, and so these people fell into shirk after years and years and years and generations and generations. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us clearly that pictures are very dangerous for our deen, for our monotheism. What happened among Muslims with these pictures, with the graves and so on? What happened? Didn't you see? You have seen. He told us as an example, he warned us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, clearly not to construct a building onto the graves, or bury the graves or the dead people into the buildings or the masjid. Why? Put this again in the story. The first time that pious person was buried in the masjid or constructed the building on his grave, what will happen? People, they know that he is only a pious person. Assalamu alaikum, and they go. Put the masjid in there, make salah. This generation, the next generation asks them, say, why our older people, when they pass by this grave, assalamu alaikum, and they don't go do this to the graveyard, why this person specially buried in this area? Why not in the graveyard with other Muslims? Then there has to be something special about this dead person. Ah, superpower. Step by step, they come say, assalamu alaikum in the beginning. Later on, assalamu alaikum and maybe touch for barakah. Later on, they will ask them instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not one day, not one year, not one generation. So many generations come. So we put in mind that what's happening among Muslims now, in these graves, did not come in one day. It came years and years and years. Does that mean that we hate these awliya or good people or pious people? No. We love them. But we don't give them what Allah only deserves. Even Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best person ever walked in earth, he told us clearly not to give him a single case, single matter that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves. We love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course, part of our deen. Part of our Islam is to love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But loving here does not mean we'll give him what Allah only deserves. As he told us in so many hadiths, لا تطروني كما طرت النصارى ابن مريم. اللهم لا تجعل قبري وثنا يعبد. صلى الله عليه وسلم. We'll talk about this inshallah later on when we talk about the case of shirk. نسأل الله العافية من الشرك. Just I wanted to mention this in the beginning because this is part of our topic tonight. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all. اللهم يحيي يا قيوم يا رحمن يا رحيم. يا أحد يا صمد يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا غفور يا ودود يا ذا العرش المجيد يا فعال لما يريد نسألك اللهم أن ترحم ضعفنا اللهم ارحم ضعفنا اللهم ارحم ضعفنا واجبر كسرنا وتول أمرنا اللهم أحسن خلاصنا اللهم وفقنا لما تحبه وترضاه اللهم وفقنا لما تحبه وترضاه اللهم وفقنا لما تحبه وترضاه اللهم اجعلنا من أهل لا إله إلا الله اللهم اجعلنا من أهل لا إله إلا الله اللهم اجعلنا من أهل لا إله إلا الله اللهم أحينا على لا إله إلا الله وأمتنا على لا إله إلا الله وأدخلنا الجنة بلا إله إلا الله اللهم إنا نحب رسولك صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم فأوردنا حوضه وأسقنا من يده الشريفة شربة لا نظمأ بعدها أبدا يا حي يا قيوم صل اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وجزاكم الله خير.